Amen. Let's give a round of applause for the Hilts trio this morning. And don't forget what I've said before 1 o'clock. You really do have to pray about that, because statistically speaking, everybody forgets what the preacher says by 1 p.m. We're in Luke chapter 2 this morning. And we're going to talk about how these shepherds responded to God's message. But here's what I want. Here's what I want you to ask yourself this morning. How can I experience God in a special way this Christmas? Think about that for a minute. Maybe even say a prayer to the Lord about that. God, how can I experience you in a special way this Christmas? How can this Christmas become more meaningful to me than ever before? And that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, for most of you, you might be thinking, the city of David, that's Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem after David becomes king. Bethlehem was where he was born. And so Joseph goes up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel this multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom He is pleased." Now, the NIV actually does a better job translating this than the New American Standard. And the NIV says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men, on whom His favor rests, on whom His grace rests." Verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go. Let's go straight to Bethlehem, and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things. She pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and all they had seen, just as had been told them. Now, Christmas, for me, is a very, very special time. I don't get wrapped up into, it's too commercial, it's too this, it's too that. I don't even pay any attention to that, because for me, Christmas is this amazing, special time of gift giving, because God, the ultimate gift giver, gave His one and only Son to save the world over 20 centuries ago. And the Bible teaches that God loves to bless us with special gifts for our enjoyment. Sometimes it's an answered prayer. Sometimes it's a total surprise. Sometimes it's a financial need being met out of nowhere. Sometimes it's healing. Sometimes God delights in meeting a relational need that we have. For instance, 27, almost 28 years later, I'm still thanking God every day for my precious wife and my three precious children. And so I love exchanging gifts at Christmas. I love putting up lights at Christmas. I love the pleasure, the laughter, and the joy that gift-giving and Christmas lights bring to our family at Christmas time. Because God, the ultimate gift-giver and the creator of all lights, the Bible says, loves to bless us with gifts. He loves to bless us with gifts, and He loves to display His glory for all to see. Did you see the moon last night? I was driving home. Where were we coming from? San Angelo, Texas. I was driving home from San Angelo, Texas, and we're going up and down these hills. And the moon, I mean, dude, it was just like massive. It was like huge. And I immediately remembered Jake when he was a little boy. Whenever he would see something like that, and he'd be in the back seat of the truck, he would go, "Dad, look, there's the glory of God." God loves to display His glory for us to see. And He longs to display His glory for us to enjoy. And so while Christmas is ultimately about God sending Jesus Christ, His only Son, to save us, the Bible also teaches that every good gift comes from God. Our Heavenly Father loves to give us gifts for our enjoyment, the Bible says. And therefore I love celebrating this ultimate gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by giving gifts and receiving gifts from others. I think it's a blast. It's a joy to my heart. And I love putting up Christmas lights that remind me of the glory of God, that remind me of the glory of my Heavenly Father, who the Bible says is Father of all lights. Look at James 1:17. In your notes this morning, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from where? Above, coming down from the Father of lights. So circle that phrase, every good thing, and circle the phrase, every perfect gift, because every good thing given comes from above, from our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights. And every perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from above, from this Heavenly Father that loves us and loves to display His glory. And that's why gift-giving and putting up lights reminds me of this amazing truth about who God is. It reminds me of my loving Heavenly Father that loves to bless me with gifts and loves to display His glory for my pleasure. And look at 1 Timothy 6:17. The Bible says, command those who are rich in this present world. By the way, if you live in America, that's you. Compared to most other people on the planet, the Bible's talking about you and I right now. Command those who are rich in this present world to put their hope, actually, I didn't put the whole verse in there. It says to put their hope not in their riches, but in God. Circle the word God. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Underline that phrase. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And so, Christmas is special. It's a very, very special time, and so therefore, it's very, very important how we respond to it. You see, no gift will ever match this invaluable and indescribable gift that God gave mankind over 2,000 years ago. And this baby born no less divine, meaning no less God, but fully human at the same time, is too wonderful for words, the Bible says. Paul describes God's gift in 2 Corinthians 9:15 as this indescribable gift, too wonderful for words. Look back at Luke 2:1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And so approximately 1,500 miles across the Mediterranean Sea, Caesar Augustus, who considered himself ruler of the known world, that's what the word Augustus means, supreme ruler, he named himself that, he orders a census. He issues a count of the people of the inhabited world. And little did Augustus know that he was merely serving as a pawn to fulfill God's prophecy in Micah chapter 5. Look at Micah 5:2 in your notes. But as for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth. One, Jesus Christ, will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. And his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity past. And so God uses, listen to this, I love this, and this is so important that we remember this. God uses the most powerful man on earth, the ruler of the known world. His people called him a god. He accepted that title. And the ones that told him, you're a god, stabbed him to death not too long after that. Interesting side note. But God uses the most powerful man on earth, Caesar Augustus, the ruler of the known world, to move Joseph and Mary to a tiny town of Bethlehem so that Christ could be born in Bethlehem in fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah chapter 5. And that, by the way, is why we should pray for our leaders instead of constantly ridiculing our leaders. Because the Bible says that God changes a king's heart just like he changes a water course. You know how easy it is to change a water course? It can be pretty easy with the appropriate equipment. And the Bible says that God can change a king's heart just like he changes a water course. And the Bible teaches that God inhabits the prayers of his people, but not the complaints of his people. Why? Because when you're complaining, and when I'm complaining, it's based on fear. But when I'm praying, it's based on faith. Look at verses 3 through 6. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Now, when Luke says they went up, this is a struggle for some people, so I'm going to explain this real quick. When Luke says they went up from Galilee, he's referring to them going up in elevation. He's not talking about going north, because everybody knows Bethlehem is south of Galilee. He's talking about them going up in elevation to the small town of Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is a small town. If you've ever been there, it's surrounded by these beautiful grass-covered hills. And so in these grass-covered hills surrounding Bethlehem were these shepherds who were keeping watch over their sheep and their goats at night. Look at verse 7. And the Bible says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so here is Christ, the Savior of the world, being born in this small town of Bethlehem, being laid in a manger, which is a feeding trough, because there was no room for him. There was no room for the Savior, the King of all kings, in Bethlehem. And so you have this King of kings who's not born in a palace. He's not even born in a home. Most likely born in a cave and laid in a feeding trough. How different are God's ways from our ways? The things that we place importance on compared to what God places importance on is dramatically different. And so how do we respond to all this? What's the appropriate response from God's people at Christmas time? Listen to how the shepherds responded. As soon as the baby was born, God sent an angel to these shepherds in the nearby hills. And some say the shepherds were a despised group. We don't know that for a fact, but we do know they were a lowly group, meaning they were very humble in attitude and their position in life. So what is God doing? Why shepherds? Why does God send this message of the King of Kings, of the Savior of the world, to shepherds? Why not send it to kings? Why not send it to high-ranking officials in the church? Bottom line, God is sending the good news of His Son to the group of people, don't miss this, that would embrace it and deliver it just as He required. Many people embrace it and stop right there. And they never deliver it to anyone else. They never witness to anyone else. They never share the gospel to anyone else. Why didn't God take this message to kings? Because they would have been intimidated by it. Why didn't He take it to these high-ranking officials in the church? Because they would have been intimidated by it. And so He took it to shepherds. He took it to this group of people who would embrace it and deliver it just as He required. The angel's announcement in verse 10 begins with an interesting verb. It begins with a Greek verb that means to proclaim news or to announce information. And so this verb implies that there's this action that must take place regarding the good news of great joy that is for all people, the Bible says. Which leads us to point number one in your notes this morning. If you want to experience Christmas this year like you've never experienced it before, respond like these shepherds did. Number one, these shepherds understood their responsibility to spread the good news of God's Savior. They understood their responsibility to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. For today in the city of David there has been born for you. Circle that phrase in your notes this morning if you're taking notes. Circle the phrase born for you. You see, that's a very, very special phrase. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now the word you, in that phrase, born for you, in the Greek is plural because Christ came to redeem all of humanity, verse 10. And so God chose these men, listen to this, God chooses these men who lack status. He chooses these men who lack influence because He knew they would respond immediately. Have you ever noticed the people God chooses respond immediately? He chose Mary, and she responded immediately. He chose Joseph. He responded immediately when he had the dream, when the angel spoke to him in a dream. He chose shepherds who would respond immediately. He chose apostles. And when you read in the Gospels about the apostles, they dropped everything and they followed Jesus Christ. God chooses people who will respond immediately to Him in obedience, which leads us to number two. The shepherds responded immediately to the opportunity to serve God and spread His message. The shepherds responded immediately to this opportunity to serve God and spread His message. You see, they understood they had been given a responsibility and they responded immediately. They didn't waste time in obeying the Lord. As soon as the angels cleared out, the Bible says they were off in a hurry to find the child and share the message that had been given them by God. Look at verse 15 and 16. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go." Circle that phrase, "let us go." Let us go straight to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has appeared, or excuse me, that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry. Circle that phrase. They came in a hurry, the Bible says, and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Now here's a great lesson we can take from these shepherds. This is an amazing lesson we can take from these shepherds. Listen to this. You do not have to be obnoxious and force conversations with people if you will remain prayerful and you will remain careful to watch for what God is doing around you. If you'll remain prayerful and careful and willing to join the Lord in what He's doing and immediately obey Him, just like He did with these shepherds, He will deliver opportunities for you to share His good news with other people. Which leads us to point number three. God knew that the shepherds were willing to share what they had experienced. That's called witnessing, by the way, when you share your experience. That's what witnessing is, okay? And God knew they were willing to share what they had experienced. Now, God hadn't called these men to preach, because people say to me, well, you know what, I'm not a preacher. And God hadn't called these men to teach. He just called them to share their experience, and they responded, the Bible says in verse 17, by making known the statement which they had been told about this child. In other words, they were to share what they had experienced. And too many people use the excuse, I'm not a preacher and I'm not a teacher. And they miss the real meaning of Christmas. They exchange gifts without ever really thinking why. And worshiping the God that is the ultimate gift giver and the Father of lights. They put up lights without ever really thinking what the true meaning of Christmas is. And they miss the true meaning of Christmas, and they miss the real purpose of life, because they never shared with other people what God has shared with them. Where would you be today if someone never shared Jesus Christ with you? And people go through Christmas over and over, season after season, and they miss the true meaning of Christmas, and they miss the true purpose of their lives because they never share Jesus Christ with other people. They never share with other people what God has so lovingly shared with them. But the shepherds said, let's go. And the Bible says they got in a hurry. They got in a hurry to get there to share what God had shown them. And that's what a witness does. He doesn't argue the case for another person. God's never asked you to argue His case. And people love to do that. And I'm like, I'm out. I'm not a good arguer for one. But that's not what God's called me to do. He just asked me to share what I know from my own experience. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, listen to me very closely. If you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ, you have what God's asked you to share. And that is a before and after experience. And that's exactly what He asked these shepherds to share. You now have this before and after experience you can share with other people. And that's how God wants you to share the good news. He wants you to tell others the difference that Jesus Christ has made in your life since you became a Christian. And so this Christmas, remember that God came to shepherds not because they were important, not because He thought they had a lot of influence. This was not a marketing scheme by God. But because they recognize their responsibility to share the good news of great joy, which is for all people. He came to them not because they were kings, not because they were preachers, and not because they were teachers, but because He knew they wouldn't hesitate. They would respond by faith immediately. They would say to each other, let's go. I love that phrase because that's a phrase that I hear Jake and Ryan say all the time. Jake texted me that the other day when Texas Tech was beating Duke in basketball, all caps, let's go. And so I when we're watching games together, Jake and Ryan will pop up off the couch and go, let's go. I've seen them do it in football games. I've seen them do it in basketball games down on the court. And so when I read this, I think about, that's what these shepherds were like. They were like, man, let's go. Let's get there. Look what God has shown us. Look what God has given us. Let's respond by faith. And let's get in a hurry, and let's go immediately do what God has asked us to do. To share this amazing blessing that He has allowed us to know that He shared with us to share with the rest of the world. And so they shared their own personal experience with others. And that's what God wants for you, from you, this Christmas. He wants you to share what He's already shared with you with other people. And when you and I respond like these lowly shepherds, we will finally experience the true meaning of Christmas. And we will finally experience the true meaning of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your Word. And what a blessing it is. Every day, when I get up and get in Your Word, Lord, You point me in the right direction. You remind me of Your love. You remind me of Your faithfulness. You remind me that You're the sovereign God of this universe that sometimes I think is spinning out of control. And You remind me of all these wonderful things. And You remind me, Chris, I love You. I have a plan for your life. Live in obedience to me and I will bless you. I'll bless you in ways you could never dream or imagine. So I thank You for that and I praise You for that. And Lord, today I lift up my family. I lift up my GBF family, Lord Jesus. I believe that You've called us to share with people outside of our church what You've already shared with us, what You've already shown us. And we don't have to be obnoxious about it. And we don't have to force it on people. If we'll be prayerful and careful to watch, You will deliver opportunities for us. So Lord, I pray that we would enjoy gifts, giving, receiving, and then we would enjoy Christmas lights, and we would remember that You're the ultimate gift giver and that You're the Father of all lights. As we celebrate You, and we celebrate this indescribable gift of eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this Christmas in 2018. It's in His precious name that we pray all these things this morning. Amen. Matt, lead us in our closing song, please, sir.